Could I just drop that down? It'd be cool. This is a season where your strengths, your gifts, your passions are activated, where it feels like you're coming alive, that whatever you put your hand to produces results. There's natural growth. There's favour and blessing. And there's the pruning season. This is a painful season where God just begins to cut stuff off your life. It's a season where maybe things that have been bearing fruit and look really successful, God cuts those things off. And then he cuts things off that hasn't been bearing fruit. So it's an incredibly important season to yield to God in. And then there's the barrenness season. This is the season where your purpose, your calling, your gifting are on hold. It's back to like the bare bones. It feels like you're in the dark. Feels like you're isolated and there's loss. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't heard that message, maybe go back and listen to the podcast and ask the Holy Spirit, help me to discern which season I'm in. Because once you know what season you're in, then you can stop, I guess, longing for another season or missing what God is doing in that season. You know, seasons in God are really important, and I think sometimes we can really, you know how little kids, they can just, like, love summer, and they just want to just strip off their clothes and literally swim in the beach all day long. And sometimes we could be like that as adults. We can get really excited for the coming season, and then when it gets there, there's things about that season that maybe we weren't expecting. Maybe we were like, oh, I didn't think this was going to happen, and then we begin to whinge. But I remember this time when Anna was little and we were living in Christchurch, and it was predicted that it was going to snow. And the kids loved it when it snowed in Christchurch because they would get days off school, because it would just be almost impossible to drive your car. So the night before, they were praying together that it was going to snow the next day, that it was predicted, and then they would get the day off school. So they woke up first thing in the morning and they raced to the window, they pulled the curtains back, and there was no snow. And they were just so gutted. They were like, "Ah, that's not fair, we have to go to school." And so anyway, they got ready for school, they had their breakfast. By the end of breakfast, it had started to snow. And they were just so excited. They're like, "We have the day of school now." It's like, well, it's not going to snow, you know, that much. But actually, it just absolutely came in. Within an hour, there was like literally the whole entire ground was completely covered. And they were just predicting that it was just going to get worse. So we're like, "Oh, actually, yeah, I have the day of school." And we got a phone call at lunchtime, well, and a text message saying school's closed. Anyway, so by that afternoon, it was just so, so thick and it was still coming in. We said to the kids, "Right, get your gumboots on and we're going to go down to the local lake and feed the ducks." And so the kids put their gummies on and they get there and then they just start whinging. They're just like, "Oh, it's too cold and oh, I just want to go home." And I just... Guys, you were excited for the snow. You wanted this to happen. And now it's here. You're having a whinge. Just enjoy the moment. Just be in this season and see the blessings that are in this moment. And sometimes we can be like that as adults, can't we? Going, "Oh, I just can't wait for the next season. I don't want to be where I'm at right now." And we get there and it's like, actually, there's so much beauty, even in pain, that God can want to reveal to us. And there's so many reasons why we don't want to embrace our season. And so this morning, if we could put that slide up with embracing your season, that'd be cool. So last week, we were talking about discerning your season. Today, I want to talk to you about what does it look like to embrace your season, to go, actually, if I'm stuck in this season for now, if this is where God has me, there must be a reason I want to embrace that. Okay? Does that sound good? Okay. I'm just going to pray for you because you're going to need prayer for this sermon. I'm probably going to need some prayer too. Father, I just thank you that you're the one who leads us into our seasons. That you're not oblivious to what's going on in our world. That there is a season and a time for everything under heaven. And I pray, Lord, as we look at your scripture this morning, as we are inspired by other people's seasons, that something in our spirit would just learn to trust you in our season, to actually trust you. So, Father, I pray that as I speak, Holy Spirit, you would speak to people's spirits and give them the revelation they need to embrace this season. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was in a season where I was not very happy. I was working in a pharmacy and I just thought, this is such a waste of my life. I don't want to be selling drugs. I want to be in the ministry. And God, why am I here? Like, seriously, do you not know how gifted I am? Like, I should not be in a pharmacy doing prescriptions. I should be influencing people and preaching and leading people. And God, have you just got my story mixed up with someone else's? I don't know if you've ever felt like that, where you're just like in this season and you think, this is a waste. This is like not what I should be doing. I was not born for this. And I remember feeling like that. And one day I was working at the pharmacy and it actually became quite clear to me that I probably wasn't in the right place when I took out a prescription to this man and I looked down at the drug on the prescription, and it was my role to counsel people when they were taking a new drug on how to use it and all of that. And so I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, I know what that drug's for. It's for hair loss. And I'm going to counsel this man and talk to him through this. But because I like to connect with people and relate to them, I thought, I wonder if there's a way that I could really connect with this customer and build relationship. And so I look at his hair and I'm like, yeah, he definitely needs this prescription. And so I go up to him and I was like, have you ever used this drug before? And because I thought maybe been to another pharmacy. He said, no, I've never used this before. I said, okay, well, this is how you use it. And I said, actually, my husband's really struggling with the same thing. And I would really love like your feedback on how this drug works for you. Would you mind like coming back into the pharmacy and and sharing how it's worked for you? And he goes, yeah, no, I wouldn't mind doing that. He said, I've only ever used Viagra before, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I thought this was for hair loss. Okay, he goes, yeah, I'll pop back in next week and I'll let you know so you can help your husband. I'm like, okay. So I just walked in the dispensary. I'm like, see God, why am I here? Like, I should be. But anyway, I think God knew it would make a good sermon illustration. But often we are in these seasons and we think, I don't really want to be here. I don't know if I'm really in the right place. And we try and make things happen on our own. We go, well, maybe I would be better here, so I'm gonna apply for this job, or I'm gonna go and live in this country or this place, right? I just wanna get things happening because obviously, God, you've forgotten about me. This season feels like way too long. And there's a scripture in James chapter 4. And it really, when I first read it, it really, really hit me up. I was extremely challenged by it. I was a young person when I first read it, but it's been a scripture that I've kept going back to over the years. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says this, "Now listen, you who say, Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So then if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, you sin. I think this challenges me because we often come at things from a rational point of view and go, well, this just makes sense, so I'm just going to do this. And we don't take that time to go, actually, what is God's will? Well, how do I find out what is God's will? How do I know what he wants me to do? And the good news is that he has answers. He has a direction for your life. He has a purpose, a reason that you were born, and he hasn't forgotten about you, and he hasn't left you in a season forever, that there is an incredible call and purpose on your life. And so if we just ask him, what city do you want me to live in? What job do you want me to do? He is able to communicate those things to us. So many people, including myself, just long for that next season. Maybe because there's this fear of the unknown. Maybe it's because we're distracted by something that's going on. And we're just not seeing what God is doing in this season right now. Maybe we're comparing ourselves to other people's seasons. When I wanted to enter the season of motherhood, I said to Steve, can we just have a time of embracing and then have fruitfulness? And he was like, no, I didn't say that. It sounds very spiritual. Basically, I just was like, right, let's start a family. And Steve said, no, we've got a plan. We've got a five-year plan. This is how it's going to work. We're going to be married for 5 years, and then we're going to start a family. And I was like, but I want to start a family now. And so we we needed to have a chat about that. We needed to, because we both had different needs, different desires, and so we ended up going for this drive together. And I said, well, how about if we ask God? Like, I honestly think that you can make those decisions, and God's okay with you making decisions, and you don't have to have God's, like, lightning in the sky for every single decision of your life. But for this one, we felt like we needed to hear from God, because we needed to be in agreement. Obviously, it helps if you're both wanting to make babies. So, and so we prayed about it, and Steve was like, okay, you can go off the pill. I feel a peace about that, but hopefully you won't get pregnant for a really long time. I was like, okay. So I remember standing in church one Sunday morning, and we're in the middle of worship, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and he says, you're going to conceive tonight. And I'm just like, whoa, hang on a minute. I've been checking on the internet and the fertile time, and it's not right now. And so, God, I think you must be a bit confused. And so I'm having this conversation about my body with God, because obviously I think he doesn't know. And so he's like, no, you're going to conceive tonight. And I was like, but Steve's just, oh, how's this going to work? Steve's not really in that frame of mind yet. And so I'm like, okay, well, God's going to have to speak to Steve. And so the day goes on, and so I'm like dropping hints, going, you know, maybe tonight would be a good time to start. And he's like, no, no, no. And I'm just wondering which version of the story I should give him. Okay. And So we have two children. But I needed to trust God that if that was the season he was leading us into, that he was able to speak. He was able to let us know. And because it was a decision that we really wanted to hear from God on, that we could trust him in that. And so that night I went into the bathroom, and as I did that, I didn't know, but Steve had gone and rung his mentor and said, "Can you pray for me? I'm really freaking out about going into this whole new place of being a dad. I don't know how I'm going to handle that. I don't know if I'm going to be a good dad. And so his mentor prayed for, prayed for him, and just said, "Look, I just think there's some fear on you around this, and I want to pray for that to go." And so he prayed for Steve, and that broke something off. And so then we went and had bonkies, and business time, yeah. And it was so cool because afterwards I said to Steve, I'm sure Cliff and Jenny have got a better word for it. afterwards I said to Steve, "I'm pregnant." And he's like, "What? What do you mean you're pregnant?" And I was like, "Well, God spoke to me this morning in worship, and because we've, embraced, then I'm pregnant right now." And because I don't know how biology works, I don't know that it takes a little bit of time. So I was like, "I'm pregnant right now." And he's like, "Oh, I had a dream last night." So I just remembered it. He said, "In the dream, I was holding this baby boy, and I couldn't find his father." And he said, "I think that's our boy, like we're going to have a boy." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, that's so exciting." And we'd had these angels turn up in our house, I think it was a month before, and God had told Steve the name of the angels, and one of the names was Ethan. And so Ethan is named after an angel. And so it was an amazing time, but it was like, I absolutely knew without any doubt that I was pregnant, and I thought, everyone's just going to think I'm really strange, so I thought, I'm going to find out the quickest possible way to confirm this, and it was by blood test after 8 days. So I went to my doctor and I said, "Can you please give me a blood test for pregnancy, because I'm pregnant?" And she goes, "Oh, have you missed your period?" And I said, "No, God's told me." She's like, "Okay." So that night, Steve picks me up from work, and the doctor had rung with the results, and he says, "I'm going to be a daddy." And he was just full of joy and full of excitement for that season. And I was just so grateful just that God spoke into that. And I think that's one of the things I really want to encourage you with today, is that whatever season that you're walking into, that God wants to talk to you about that. He wants to be part of it. He wants to be in relationship with you while you're going into that season and while you're going through that season. There's this amazing couple in the Bible called Abram and Sarai, and their story is in Genesis. And they were in a season of barrenness where they couldn't conceive. There was just absolutely no way they could have a baby in the natural, and they had tried for years and years and years, to the point where at 75 years old God speaks to Abram. And it's so amazing to think that right in the midst of, I guess, that season of barrenness where you can often lose hope, that he's always there. He's never left. And he gives this amazing promise to Abram, and he says this: "The word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir.'" And he's talking about a servant that was in Abram's house, because he's like, "Look, I've got no kids." And back in those days, if you didn't have a child, you basically had to adopt one of your servants, and they became the rightful heir to all of your inheritance. So he said, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Amazing, isn't it? And there's the, actually there was another promise before that in chapter 12 where it says, I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you and you will be a blessing. So, and then he gives them that promise. And then it goes on and he says in chapter 17, when he's 99 years old, still hasn't conceived with his wife, still in the season of barrenness. And he says, you will be the father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you be very fruitful and I will make nations of you. God keeps coming back. He keeps communicating with him. But you see, in this story, there's other people involved in the story. His wife, Sarai, has not heard from God like Abraham's heard from God. And so for her, she's looking at her circumstances. She's looking at her life going, this is not fair. I want to be a mother. I want to carry a child. And so she says to Abraham, look, to Abram, how about you sleep with my servant Hagar and you conceive a child with her, and then maybe that child can be mine, and that's the way this is all going to work out. And so I don't know what was going through Abram's mind when they sat down and they had that coffee together. And she said, look, I really want something to happen. This is really painful for me. It's maybe it's just like, oh, I don't want to see my wife in pain. I don't want her to go through this season for any longer than she really should. And he'd heard from God. And he didn't share that with his wife. Or maybe she didn't ask and go, what's God saying to you in this season? But she just went with her circumstances, what made sense, what was logical. And it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's so easy to go, well, this isn't working out. I feel like God's not really in control right now. So what makes logical sense is if we just step out and do this. And our feelings can so get in the way of our faith. And we've got to be so careful that in those seasons where it's just like we physically can't see what God, the activity of God, that we're not blinded by our pain in that. So when Steve and I thought, well, we want to have another child, we thought, oh, it's just going to happen like that. It's just going to be the most amazing because obviously I'm just, you know, can get pregnant just like that. But it didn't happen like that with Anna. We decided on when we wanted to have her. We were thought, right, as soon as Ethan is 9 months old, we're gonna have another baby. And so in 9 months' time, we will have this other child, and then our kids are only going to be 9 months apart. Does that work? Or 18 months? I'm terrible at maths. But each month that went by, I was still getting my period. I was not pregnant, and I was devastated by that. I thought, this doesn't make any sense. Why would God in this season go speak and angels turn up and you're going to conceive? And it was like the Mary and Joseph story. And then in this season, it's so different. Surely, God, you would do it like you did it before. And we can often compare even our own seasons with seasons from the past. But God was doing something different in that season. And so month after month after month went by, and I was getting prayer, and people were coming to me trying to give me wisdom and advice and say, well, maybe it's because you've sinned and God's punishing you. And I was like, oh my goodness, what sins have I done? And I'm just trying to like confess everything. And And that wasn't good advice, and it wasn't biblical, and it wasn't the God that I know today. But at that time, I was just so in pain that I was just opening myself up to everything. And so for Steve and I, that journey was 2 years of barrenness. For some people, we've got friends that have had decades of barrenness. But in the midst of that barrenness, it is so hard to keep trusting God and to keep holding on. And I was like, God, what are you saying in this season? And our friend Sean actually came to us in near the end of that 2 years. And he said, I've had a dream 3 nights in a row that you are with 2 children, and one is on your right and one is on your left. And he said, I believe the right signifies strength and a male, and the left signifies a girl. But he said in the dream they were standing like far apart from each other. Well, it ended up that there's a 3.5 year age gap between them. But it was a word that God spoke in that season for us to hold on to it, like a hope that one day I would conceive. And yes, we have our 2 gorgeous children, but here is Sarai, and she's in that place where she's just trying to make sense of things, and she's trying to take things into her own hands, I guess. And so Abram, for whatever reason, agrees. And it says, so after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian servant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. This is a really awful situation, because often there's an atmosphere that happens when you're in pain, and you want to blame shift. You want to go, well, if this hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be in this situation. If you had responded like this, then things would be so different right now. And Hagar is doing the same thing. She's in her pain. Sarai, in her pain, is just taking it out on Hagar. And Hagar is picking up on that resentment and despising her mistress, because Hagar's moved from a place of serving Sarai and being her support and her strength and help, to now being carrying the ear of her master, carrying a son that will inherit everything, she thinks, at this time. And so it's a real shift for her. And I think sometimes when we shift from seasons and we go from a place of rest or of barrenness and we move into a place of fruitfulness, there's a real test that can come in that season of promotion. There's a test on your character, the way that you respond, the way that you treat others. And it's so important that if we are going to embrace that season of fruitfulness, that we do it with honor, that we do it with grace for those around us that are maybe still in a different season, still in an old season, still in a season where they're not fruitful. But as we step into that place, and Hagar just, she didn't know how to respond. And she didn't do that well. And so in her pain, she fled. And she fled to a place called Shur. And it says an angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. Now Shur means wall. So she's basically running towards a wall, and she stopped at a spring. Now Shur is a city that was built basically in barrenness and wilderness. So it means wall, but it's set amongst barrenness. So she's now in a season of fruitfulness. She's carrying the ear of her master, and she's running away because of her pain and going, I don't want to be in that season. I just want to be in this season. And so for her, what did it look like to embrace the season that she was in? And so I love that an angel comes right to that spring and meets her where she's at and has a word from God for her. Because I think no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how badly we may have been mistreated or misunderstood, or how badly we've misbehaved, God is still loving. He still wants to communicate. He still wants to connect. He still wants to give us a word that gives us hope for that season. And so he says this to her. Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? When I read those words, I cried. I was just, I don't know why, but it was, I just thought, how empowering is that? That God would ask that. You know, it wasn't like, he didn't start off by going, look, you really just mistreated your mistress, and you really should have done that differently. And, you know, he started with wanting to know her heart, for her to share what was on her mind. Where have you come from? Where are you going? And I thought, you know what? Some of us need to just find a spring. Find a place before we hit the wall where we can sit down with the Holy Spirit and just take some time out and say, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me right now that I can take back into my season and get through this? Because regardless of whether you feel abandoned by God or you feel like he's done, his timing is wrong, or how much pain you're in, he wants to speak to you. And maybe he wants to say those exact words to you. Where have you come from? Where are you going? Sometimes as we reflect where we've come from, it can cause us to look back at the goodness of God and go, you know what? I know it's painful right now, but I remember a time where God came through for me. I remember a time when I prayed about something and he answered me. That's where I've come from. I've come from a place of knowing the goodness of God, knowing the faithfulness of God. Where am I going? You don't want to go into that next season alone. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Oh, I'm sure they were painful words to hear. Surely you don't mean that. If you know, so often we go, but if God was good, if he was a loving father, he wouldn't make me go back and work for a boss that just doesn't get me, doesn't understand me, has different values from me. God wouldn't make me go back to my marriage and honor and submit and to bring grace when I'm not treated the way that I think I deserve to be treated. God wouldn't ask me to go back and reconcile with that neighbor that is driving me mental with the issues every weekend. But God is the God of reconciliation. He is the God of hope. And we may feel like, well, that's really mean, God, to make me go back. But there is a reason he's asking us to do that sometimes. And you can trust him in that. That it's not to put you through pain and agony, but it's for your good, it's for your benefit. He says, I want you to go back and I want you to submit to her. And the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. God is the God of the increase. He's always looking for ways that he can bless our life, but he needs to do it in partnership with us. That there's something that he's asking of us to surrender to him. He's like, I've always want to increase. I always want you to be in a season of fruitfulness, but sometimes we've got to go through the season of pruning and the barrenness before we get to that season of fruitfulness. He says, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son and you shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Isn't that beautiful? You know, sometimes Ishmaels get birthed in our life because of decisions that are made, sometimes out of our control, and there is consequences for that. But in the midst of an Ishmael being born, God hears. Ishmael literally means God hears. He hears. And God can turn any situation. Like, Abraham, what were you thinking? We just want to slap him and go, Abraham, you believed God. It says you believed that promise. And he went from believing to agreeing to, I'll just settle for this because it kind of makes sense and logically. But even in the midst of that, God hears and he sees. So beautiful. Oh, Jess's husband, Jared, has been a really great friend of ours for many years, and we've seen him go through so many seasons. And he is someone that I look to and inspired by, because he, when we met him, he'd just come out of a spiritual abuse situation, and we got to journey with him after that time, and he was in pain, and he was really, really hurting, but he always walked with God. He always had the most beautiful connection to Jesus. And it was amazing to watch someone go through that much pain, and his job was stripped from him, his title was stripped from him, his sense of calling and purpose, everything was shut down. He couldn't be at that time who God had wired him to be. And it's hard to watch someone go through that. And you just want to pray for them and go, God, we just pray that you would release the call of God on their life, that you would open doors no man could shut, that you would be place them in a position of influence. And you just want to pray prayers like that. And there's nothing wrong with praying prayers like that. But actually, Jared needed to walk through that season and embrace it. Because of who he is now, if you know him now, he is so strong on the inside. And then he went through a season of singleness, just where he was watching all his friends around him get married, and he was just like, ah, God, have you forgotten? And we watched him go through that and handle that. It was hard, but he handled it well because he walked that journey with Jesus. And John 15, I think it is, it says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear fruit. But you need to remain in me. And he walked through that journey. And then he walked through another journey of watching his friends around him be released into ministry. And that was the dream in his heart. And he was like, hey, well, when's it my turn? When's this going to happen? And that was hard. It's like, okay, God, he's working at a hotel, and he was so good at that job, and people loved him, the staff loved him. But inside he was like, I was born for more than this, and he kept walking that journey with Jesus. And then this year, well, he met the woman of his dreams first, thanks to me. and got... like just entered into this amazing fruitful season of being married and then now being ordained as ministers in their church, as pastors together as a team. And but it's just so might be some more embracing but it's really is a powerful story to watch someone go through every season and do it with Jesus and embrace each season. And even though it's hard, going, God, I know there's purpose in this. And I want each of us to have that kind of life where people could look on, especially you've got non-Christian people in your world. If they were to look at you go through the seasons of life, would they see that you are able to embrace every season and do it well? And have that hope, regardless of if you're in a fruitful season or a barren season. Because Jesus wants that connection. Why don't you stand with me and I'm going to pray for you. Can we have that scripture from Daniel? Oh. Says this, it is God who alters the times and seasons, and he removes kings and he promotes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So Father, I just pray right now for every person standing here that whatever season they are in, that firstly you give them that discerning spirit to know. Secondly, today we ask God that you'd help us to embrace the season we're in, to actually trust you in the midst of our season, to know that you are a good God, a faithful God, that you want to speak, that you are the God who hears, you are the God who sees us, that when we stop at that spring and we just take time to be with you, that you will meet us there. You will speak to us. And Father, I pray right now for you just to open our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Where we have just, some of us have been in so much pain, it's like we've been deafened and blinded to the activity of God. I pray you'd open our ears again to hear. Open our eyes to see that you are at work, that there is purpose in the pain, that there is a call that is being worked on and developed and growing inside of us. I thank you that your heart is for increase. Your heart is for hope. Your heart is for our life to be a living testimony of a good, good Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I just want to make an opportunity if you feel like you just would love someone to pray with you about this, you feel like God's stirring something in you, well, they've been speaking this morning and you're like, I just want someone to pray with about that, then I want to invite you to just to come, we'll chuck some music on and the rest of us can have coffee.